man from Wisconsin who served 18 years in prison for the sexual assault and attempted murder of a woman. In 2003, DNA evidence proved Avery was not guilty and he was released. 2 years later, Avery was arrested in connection with another murder and convicted. Avery's defence lawyer was Jerome Booting. He's on a flying visit to Belfast at the moment. He's available to speak to us. Jerome, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm amazed by this story. I have to put my hand up and say I didn't see it on Netflix. But just remind us of the trauma that Stephen Avery is going through at this present moment in time. It's mind-blowing, as I say, what he's been through.
Well, it is. And, you know, here's a gentleman who spent 18 years wrongly convicted, finally gets justice, is released, has then discovers that some of the reasons that he was wrongly convicted was deliberate misconduct, he alleged, against a particular county, and, you know, has good lawyers, has a big lawsuit, it's going well, and then all of a sudden he's arrested and charged by the very same people that he is suing, and now for even more serious crime that has resulted in his conviction and life without parole. So it, I'm sure, has been enormously traumatic for him in the last 8-10 years that he's been in custody for that. But I'm also sure that he's hopeful now that people are waking up and seeing what really happened to him, and that he has new counsel working towards a new trial.
Do you believe that he will get a new trial and that he will be released and released as an innocent man?
Well, I am optimistic. I don't represent him at this point, and so I'm not completely privy to all of the information his new counsel has amassed and is working on. But, you know, just from the number of tips and contacts that I received immediately after the release of the Netflix documentary, you know, I'm very optimistic that there are some newly discovered evidence issues that can be raised. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. You know, America's appellate system is definitely skewed against giving people a second chance. The standards of review are very, very challenging. But, you know, I'm hopeful that given the particular focus of this documentary, that he has at least a reasonably good chance of finally getting justice.
Why is it that you no longer represent him?
That's standard in America, particularly in our state. Whenever the attorneys represent somebody at trial, they always turn the case over to a different set of counsel for a fresh set of eyes. It's very rare that the same attorney would continue to represent somebody on appeal after they've represented somebody at trial. So I had nothing to do with money, as some people have wondered why we didn't represent him pro bono. It's really just a quirk of the practice in America, and particularly the state of Wisconsin.
And what's it like when you sit and talk to Stephen?
Well, he's, you know, he is pretty much what you see in the documentary. And, you know, he's a nice gentleman, and every dealing I've ever had with him, he was always perplexed at who was doing this and why with regard to this Teresa Halbach prosecution. He's never given up hope, although I think he's despaired at times. Thankfully, he's had a very supportive family and have continued to encourage him. And now he has new counsel that are hopefully going to help him get through this with less difficulty than he's had before.
Do you have faith in American justice?
You know, people wonder whether I lost faith on this because we lost this particular trial. We knew when we took over this case that this was a very challenging case, particularly whenever there's an allegation of some manipulation of the evidence. It's very, very difficult to win on that kind of a case. And given the enormous pretrial publicity and the prejudicial pretrial publicity created by the prosecution's press conferences, we knew that we had our work cut out for us. But that doesn't make you lose faith in the system. I mean, as criminal defense attorneys, you're supposed to lose most of the time, because if the case is really that weak for the prosecution, they'll either dismiss it or they will reduce it and resolve the case without going through a trial. So simply losing a case does not make a criminal, should not make a criminal defense attorney lose faith in their system of justice. If anything, for me, it just makes me persevere, buckle down, and work all that much harder in all of the next cases to try and ensure that justice prevails in those cases.
It seems to be, from what I've seen of the series, and I haven't seen a lot of it, but I've read quite a bit on it last night, and I've listened to others who have seen it talking about it, you can't have much faith in that Wisconsin area.
Well, there are some pretty peculiar and unfortunate things depicted in the documentary, and, you know, not least of which is the conflict of interest in the law enforcement that investigated his case. And you know, particularly troubling is that they said that the county that he was suing for his first wrongful conviction stated publicly, repeatedly, that they were not involved in the investigation of this new case, that they turned it over. And then it was only later, when lawyers started probing further, that we discovered that really that almost all of the important evidence in the case was discovered by these Manitowoc County Sheriff's investigators. So to present false information like that to the public, I understand they've gotten a lot of hate mail and callers, and I don't condone certainly any kind of threats of harm that apparently they've also received. But to the extent that they've gotten a black eye from this, it's self-imposed. You know, they chose to proceed the way they did and leave themselves open to this kind of criticism, and they deserve all of it.
Now, miscarriages of justice, we're no stranger to them, in this part of the world. And I know you're talking to young lawyers here in Belfast during your visit. Are you confident, considering our recent past, that we'll not suffer from miscarriages of justice, like indeed we have on a number of occasions in the recent decades?
Well, I'm not confident that you'll not suffer from them, or that anybody won't suffer for them. In fact, you know, the number of contacts I've had from all over the world, from Australia to the UK and Europe and many countries in Africa, even China. It's obvious that wrongful convictions are not uniquely American or Northern Ireland based. I mean, they happen all over the world. But what I am hopeful is that people will, particularly the young, and that's why I'm encouraged to speak to young people and young lawyers, that they will wake up, that they will find out what's going on in their local courthouses, that the media hopefully will play a educational role and not sensationalize cases, but instead allow people to focus on the procedures that are being used. You know, we have cameras in the courtroom in America, all except for federal court in most states. And to me, despite some of the disadvantages and the concerns that some people have had, I think it's a positive. I would encourage all countries to do that, because it allows the ordinary citizen to see what really is happening in their courthouse. And it's what this documentary has done is really shine a light on that. And, you know, evil people have a harder time getting away with things when it's done in the light. When it's dark and people aren't paying attention, they're more likely to try and get away with things.
Interesting to see if we ever have those cameras in our courts. Just very briefly, Jerry, will there be more from the documentary series? Is more planned?
You know, there's been talk about that. I don't have any particular knowledge about whether there would be a season two. I think the filmmakers have stated publicly that if there are developments, they will certainly follow on with it. Oftentimes, appellate procedures, post-conviction procedures, don't have as many court appearances and therefore as many opportunities for filming. A lot more is done on paper. But I'm sure that if there's any other court appearances for Mr. Avery, that not only the filmmakers but other media will be there and ready to present whatever developments there may be.
Yeah, the world's certainly interested in his plight. Jerome Booting, thanks very much for your time, Jerry. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.